For our scripture reading, it's altered a little bit from what you can find in the bulletin. We read Isaiah 45, beginning at verse 20, and then we also read the first 11 verses of Philippians 2. God's word comes to us this morning, first from the Old Testament, Isaiah 45, verses 20 to the end, and then Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I've sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. The second reading is from Philippians 2. First 11 verses. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, children, young people, the Lord Jesus once said, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. What he was basically saying was this. The way up to heaven is the way down. Last week we considered Jesus' way down. We considered that mindset of Jesus Christ, fully aware of the fact that he was God, the glorious Son of God, equal with God. He did not hold on to that reputation. And we considered his way down. He humbled himself in his birth, in his homelessness, in his willingness to be needy, a needy human being, willing to even stoop and wash the feet of his disciples as a slave. He was willing to lay aside that amazing glory that he had from eternity. and stoop to that cursed death, the death that we are going to remember this morning. Now, we often, during the Lord's Supper, consider that way down. And that's good and right, his suffering. This morning, we would like to draw our attention to the way up. His way up. For we don't celebrate the supper of a dead Savior. Bless the Lord, we don't. No, we have a living, ruling, reigning, and coming Savior. He's glorious. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's ruler of all nations, King of kings. He's alive and he's coming. And in the supper we confess that he rules and reigns each of our lives. And that he rules in our hearts. And when we partake of that supper, we say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. I am no longer my own. And we're called to fall down before him, to worship him, to confess him. The way up to heaven is the way down on our knees. Who are we that he has saved us from such wrath, so undeserving? He is so gracious. And then the lower we learn to stoop in our hearts and minds before this glorious Jesus Christ, our glorious Savior, the more he becomes everything and we become small. And may that be this morning the fruit of this Lord's Supper. May he draw us to his glory, because the Lord's Supper, we for him puts it like this, we still hope to read that later. Let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift our hearts up on high in heaven, where Christ is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father. May the Lord, through this brief message, help us to look higher and to stoop lower. Our text is Philippians 2 again, verses 9 through 11, where we read, wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So our theme, Jesus is Lord. God exalted him. We worship and confess him. Now our text begins with a little word, children, wherefore. Little words in the Bible are important. I've said it before. It's the word therefore. We shouldn't skip over it. Because this word shows us the gospel and the glory of Jesus Christ. Wherefore? Or therefore? That because he stooped so low, lower, so low, therefore God highly exalted him. And God did it. Wherefore God, it begins with these words. Jesus did not exalt himself. That's what we often, unfortunately, do. That's what we did in paradise. That's what we do every time we sin. Every time we esteem ourselves better than others. Every time we don't want to listen to God. That's what we do. Exalt ourselves. But not what he did. That's why he can be such a Savior. He laid aside his glory. He humbled himself to the lowest degree and to that cursed death of the cross. Perfect humility, perfect obedience, deep suffering, being despised, even to the death of the cross. For such creatures as we are by nature, proud, selfish, self-focused, hell-deserving, he exalted not himself, God exalted him. He humbled himself He did not show off his glory as we heard last week. He came as that humble servant. He, the only Savior and mediator between God and man. Man, Christ Jesus. He remained God all the time. Even when he was at earth, walking this earth as the God-man. He remained God forever, blessed forever. And yet, he takes upon him human flesh and becomes this humble servant. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Because he finished this amazing work of salvation at the cross, he is exalted. Now, this word exalted, our translation doesn't fully give the meaning of it. Exalted to the highest it is. Well, he was equal with God. He remained equal with God. It's the mystery of Christ, the God-man. But this is speaking about him as the Savior, as the God-man. And this word means then hyper-exalted or super-exalted, exceptionally honored. Because he did not hold on to his own honor as the Savior, God honored him. And that's why we have a preparation week where we humble ourselves and let go of our own reputation and say, Lord, that wretched pride in me, it needs to be killed. Take it. Wash it. Wash it away with the blood of Jesus Christ. Have we done so? Confessed our pride? Are we looking to this humble Savior? And has that humbled us as well? That he came for me. Now, Christ was the mediator, honored by the Father. And our text tells us, and has given him a name above every name. That's how he was honored. That's how he was exalted. Children, that means that he became very high. He bore the name of Jesus already. That means, you know that, children. He came because he shall save his people from their sins. But that's not the name that God gave him. That's the name that he bore as a Savior. And that's exactly why he humbled himself, because he came to save his people from their sins. He came, believer, to save you from your sins. But now, upon finishing that work of humiliation, God came and generously gave him his own glorious name, his same honor as God himself. That's why we also read Philippians 2, Isaiah 45 with our scripture reading. There it's quoted. It's speaking about God. This verse that the Lord himself, to the Lord himself, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. It's speaking about the Lord himself, the Old Testament Yahweh, the Savior, the I Am, the God who brought the people of Israel out of bondage, out of their sin. And this is now applied to Jesus Christ here in this text, not to God the Father. So here, upon finishing that work that he had as the mediator, the Father now says, I honor you with my very own name. And yes, from eternity he had that same name. But as the mediator, he says, I honor you. He is God, ruler of all things. He reigns in heaven. He reigns your and my life. Also this week, children, have you graciously surrendered your life to him? Who is king in your life? That's the question this morning. And for all of us, who is king in our lives? It's either Jesus Christ is Lord, or we are ourselves are upon the throne. And that means really we are slaves to the devil. And that's sad. But we are to crown him Lord of Lords this morning. Jesus is Lord, and God the Father honored him. We know what happened, children, don't we? Right after he died, his body was laid in the grave. But that's not where he stayed. The Father was going to make him high. He is now alive. Early that resurrection morning, he burst from the grave to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. He rose up. Father made him alive. He's the living Savior. But that's not all. He is exalted higher. He ascended into heaven. And just before that, he said this, I am with you, to his disciples. I am with you always. Was he referring to God's name? Yes. The I am who I am. The God who is always with his people. And Jesus says, that's me. That's me. Because I am God. What else did he say? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That's what it means that he is Lord. That's why God has given him this name above every name, Lord. And then he ascended, that blessed Savior, out of the sight of his disciples with those blessing hands. He didn't come to curse his disciples. No, he came to bless. And that's what he does also to each of his children. He wants to bless. And up he went, higher and higher. And the Father took him into heaven. He is super exalted. Exceptionally honored. Don't you want to have a look into heaven for a moment? A small peek into heaven. When he entered into heaven, Psalm 24 gives us that. The angels sing to each other. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. In other words, open the doors of heaven, for this is the glorious, sinless King. He's welcome here in heaven. He has suffered. He has so deeply humbled himself. He has finished salvation. Glory, blessing, honor to him who sits upon the throne. They ask each other, who is this King of glory? And the saints are singing along. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered hell. And between those rows of innumerable angels who rejoiced and the saints who were in heaven already and worship, there he now, he sits on the throne of heaven. Up he went. Because he humbled himself. Therefore God highly exalted him to that throne. And there he receives that place of highest honor on the right hand of the Father. The Father said to him, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies my footstool. Till they all submit. He left his disciples on earth. They were staring into heaven. We know that. They were puzzled. We are still here on heaven, on earth as well. Have you been looking up maybe this week? And there's a cloud in front of you. Took away the Savior out of your sight. Perhaps that's what you've experienced this week. Where is he? My Savior. Don't see him. Where do we find him? In the Word of God. Go to Daniel 7. And there you see what happened there in heaven as well. When he was enthroned. One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Came to the Father. Yes, the Ancient of Days, it says there. And they brought him near before him. And there was given to him dominion, glory, a kingdom, and all peoples and all nations, that all peoples, all nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That's why when you even when you don't see him this morning, or have been struggling to see him this week, you can rest assured this morning that he is on the throne of heaven. and that his kingdom is as secure as ever. He received that place from his Father. And child of God, that's where your Savior is right now. In that place of honor. That's where Christ is and continues to gather and defend and preserve his church. He does it. Even when you sometimes wonder, is it really true? Is he really preserving the church? He preserves you. He preserves you. That's where he is for you. To represent you. To pray for you. That's where he prays, Father, I will that those who are given unto me shall be with me and see my glory. That's where he presents also that blessed work, that finished work on the cross, and say, Father, I humbled myself. And you exalted me. Look at those wounds. That's where he is. When you look back on your preparation week, and you have to confess, in contrast to that proud Pharisee who's happy and confident about himself, I trust you found nothing. Nothing in yourself. Nothing to make you more acceptable, pleasing in the sight. When you looked inside, yes, and that's often what we do during preparation week. We see sin and more sin. Pride and more pride. And perhaps you have been thinking, how can that be? But the Lord loves to hear the cries of publicans in the back of the temple. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Listen to Christ's voice about that man, that publican. Be merciful unto me, he said. What happened? This man went home justified. God said, this man humbled himself. He looked in his heart. He was greatly humbled. God, be merciful, the sinner. And then he looked outside. How do we know? Be merciful. He looked to that altar. To that mercy seat. And so should we. Today, that mercy seat and that altar, where is it? Where is our hope? It's on the throne. He is on the throne. Jesus Christ. He's on that seat of mercy. We may come to him with boldness. And he receives us. And he presents his wounds. And says, that's why this one can go free. That's why this one can be justified. So child of God, look up. Look higher. You have an advocate at the right hand of the Father. Christ Jesus is Lord. Bow before him. Confess him today. Brings us to our second thought. Because, yes, he's highly exalted on the throne of heaven. You would say, is there any greater honor? Yes, there is. This Son of God, who was despised and rejected of men, he will return on the clouds of glory, with great glory, on the clouds of heaven. And he will come victorious for all eyes to see. That's the highest honor that will ever be given to him, who is both God and man. Because he suffered and bowed so deeply. The way up is the way down. And that's the honor that our verses 10 and 11 speak about in our text. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And if you have been studying the letter of Philippians, it cannot escape us that Paul is constantly stressing that we are to live in light of that second coming. That we to worship Him and to confess Him. That's the Christian's perspective. That's the Christian's hope. Let's focus on His coming. And that should also be one of the things we focus on at the Lord's table. When we are called to lift our hearts into heavenly places with Christ. Because we are to do this in remembrance of Him till He comes. And He promised that He one day will drink that cup with us new in the kingdom of God. It's going to the great supper of the Lamb. And that focus, just to show you for a moment, is all over the letter of Philippians. 1 verse 6. He says that every believer, that Paul is confident that every true believer, that God has begun a good work in their lives and will perform it until the day of Christ. Same chapter 1, verse 10. He desires that believers would be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Chapter 2, that they should walk humbly and blamelessly in this world, holding forth in the way we live the word of life. Why? That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, because Jesus is coming again. Chapter 3, verse 14. He speaks about a calling that every believer has. The upward calling, the high calling of God. To be heavenly minded. Living in the light of Him coming. Our Savior, our Redeemer. And then when it comes to the Christian joy. At chapter 4, when he speaks about that. Rejoice always, let your moderation be known unto all men. And then this, the Lord is at hand, He's coming. Rejoice. So when we listen to those verses, and verses 10 and 11, we should understand that this worshipping and confession, this bowing and confessing of Christ before Christ is at His second coming. The day when He receives His greatest honor possible. That day, children, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Boys, girls, teenagers, middle-aged, singles, parents, senior. Each one of them. Now there are still knees that don't bow, tongues which are silent. But the Lord's table asks those who know what it means to bow in our hearts, in our minds, to come and worship, to bow, to crown Him Lord of lords and King of kings and Lord of all, Lord of my life. And to say, I'm traveling to that great day when I will see Him, when I will love Him, when I will serve Him perfectly. Now I'm so imperfect. When our text speaks about every knee, every tongue, bow and confess. What a great day that will be. Creatures in heaven, it says, will worship. Those are the saved saints. And together with the angels, they will join in that blessed song of the redeemed. Creatures on earth. Every human being will one day honor Jesus Christ. Humble themselves. Humbly confess and acknowledge. When we are believers, I was such a wretched sinner, but Jesus is my Lord. Or very reluctantly, because we've never learned to bow. We've never learned to confess truly with all of our heart, with our whole life. Reluctantly bow, because God is going to put all His enemies under His footstool. And yes, our text even says that those who bow who are under the earth, that can mean the devils and his demons. On earth, when Jesus was on earth, they already bowed sometimes. They had to acknowledge his power. Reluctantly, but they did. Or it can mean that those who are dead and buried will also rise and say, Jesus is Lord. What a day. What a day. What a glorious day for Jesus Christ. But what a terrible day for all those who don't know Him. Because they will be assigned the lowest place. The place they never would want to take themselves. The place in hell. We will be required to worship Him one day. Each one of us this morning. Every knee. Every tongue. Knee shall bow. Tongue shall confess. All of us will bow. And there will be one day total submission. Zero rebellion. What a day. Jesus Christ, when He returns. He sits on the throne. He knows us. He sees our hearts. Oh, God forbid that someone comes and confesses this morning with lips, but have not submitted in our hearts to obey Him, to walk toward that day, to worship Him and adore Him. It's not too late. It's not too late. Bow right now. That's your heart. And you see it for the first time. And say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Humble yourself. Because that's what we all need to do. Paul knew exactly what he was talking about in these things. He said, I had to give up all kinds of things too. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. A Pharisee, chapter 3 shows us. People were impressed with Paul. Look, there's Paul. And Paul says, yeah, that's all rubbish. That's all loss. I have only one desire. I want to know the beauty and glory of Jesus Christ. I want to be on the right side of the resurrection, on the side of Jesus Christ, that He stands in my place and says, that righteousness was for you. Not my own righteousness. I'm pressing to know Him. I want to experience the power of His resurrection. I'm running the race toward heaven, he says in chapter 3, in other words, but same thought. Toward the day that Jesus is returning, I stretch myself forward. And everything that hinders needs to go. I leave behind all those things that I counted gain in the past. I want to win Jesus Christ. I want to gain Him. That's Paul's mindset. And that should also be our mindset. I'm traveling heavenwards. Our conversation, he says in 3:20, or our citizenship. Our citizenship, that's where we are going, is in heaven. From whence we look, we eagerly look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to crown Him Lord of glory, Lord of lords. Now that cost the Philippians because they lived in a Roman colony. It could mean death for them, sacrifice, giving things up. Because there in Philippi, people were saying, Caesar is Lord. And still today, it requires faith to stand up and say, Jesus is Lord of my life in a hostile world. And we need indeed to give up on our reputation. Otherwise, we won't confess. We will deny him. Like Peter. Until he was filled with the Spirit of God, then he couldn't deny him any longer. Or, we need that faith, or, and that confession. We blend in with this world. But maybe you are here this morning and you know what it means to stand up for Christ and say that He is Lord, and people begin to mock you. You're blessed. You're blessed. Because that's the work of the Spirit. When our mouth humbly live, with our mouth we humbly live and confess Him, and it costs us, that glorifies the Father. We need this Christ-like mindset, don't we? Which Paul also had. He could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's confessing. That's bowing. Whatever it costs. If you say this morning, well, I have failed. Confess it right now. Say, Lord, cleanse me. I failed so many times. Make me ready for that day. There's blood to cleanse a Peter who denied him. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. If you're not one of His this morning, then don't start confessing at the table, but start confessing by your sin. Say, Lord, of all my unbelief, all my pride, I've all used all these things in my mouth and my hands and my thoughts, all for myself, for my own glory. But then also consider Him, Jesus Christ. Don't consider your sins only, but consider Him who stooped so lowly to come and take sinners out of their sins and take them to heaven. To wash them, cleanse them, prepare them. One day, He will be honored. Every creature, Revelation 5 verse 13 puts it like this. Every creature, that means animals, believers, unbelievers, demons, which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying. So animals don't have a soul, but they do glorify God. That's what Paul is saying. They say this: blessing and honor and glory and power be upon Him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. That's where we are heading, child of God. That's where we are heading. That's what we are celebrating also this morning when we sit around the supper of the Lamb. Let's worship Him who's worthy. Let's confess Him. He took the lowest place. Our way up is by the way down, letting go of all the things that we treasure. And by saying, I treasure Christ more, I esteem Him the greatest. He must increase and I must decrease. If that resonates with your heart, you're welcome at the supper. Exalt Him. Confess Him. Hate your sin. Hate your pride. Let Him rule your life with His Word and Spirit. If you say, well, I need more of this heavenward perspective, does it need strengthening? Come. He can teach you. He can teach you. Confess Him at His table, however weak your faith is, because this table is not for strong believers only. It's for those who are weak. Bow, worship, confess, eat, remember, and let Him pull your heart into heaven where the Savior is. Amen.